From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made around this time of year, every year, on this program, when we spend an hour highlighting a number of local people and organizations that are trying in their own ways to uplift the community. From grassroots efforts to help kids and seniors to small nonprofits going above and beyond, we wanted to shine a light on positive action on this day before Thanksgiving. And we're trying to shine a light in places that don't often get the spotlight. You're going to hear from a number of people this hour. And we are going to kick it off with the remarkable Phyllis Jackson, who is on the line with us now, a registered nurse and project manager of community health and well-being at Common Ground Health. Hello, Phyllis.
Hello, Evan. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you these days?
I am well. Thank you.
Well, today you're talking about SACE, the Senior Adult Community Engagement Project, which runs the Not Forgotten Project. We're going to talk about Not Forgotten in a moment. Let's start with SACE, SACE, Senior Adult Community Engagement. What is it?
It is a group of BIPOC senior adults, all over age 55, let me put it that way, and we convene to give people of color and seniors of color a voice. You know, there are a lot of things that go on in our community, and a lot of tables convene, and one of the things, one of the groups that are often missing are senior adults. And because they're a part of the community, whatever affects the community affects us. And so we convene to work on projects, to sit at tables so that we are raising our voices about the issues that affect senior adults of color.
How has the participation been? Do you see participation there?
We have about we have 14 slots for people, and we have 10 people that are working. We've had a couple that have worked on for a while and went, and we have the 10 that are there consistently. And so we work on several tables. We sit at groups, and each one of them is involved in some kind of a project that involves seniors or involves a community or involves research.
Tell us about the Not Forgotten Project now.
So the Not Forgotten Project was born because we had some seniors that were going to a nursing home to do a Bible study. And so when I went, I accompanied them and one day and I said, you know, we should be doing more. You know, these people here, some of them have no family, have no friends, nobody visits. Let's see what we could do to uplift this population because we never really hear anything about them. You know, they connect. Collect toys for kids and different things, but I never hear anything about these forgotten adults in nursing homes. And so that's how the project got started. And so we decided that we would ask the nursing home, that particular one, if they had, we were doing this on our own and kind of collecting things and, you know, donating them ourselves, if they could give us the name of 20 people that had no family, no friends, nobody visit, and that, no money, and we would like to give them gifts. And so that's how we got started. And we started off with three, then we went to four, and this year we have five.
Can people help with this?
Absolutely. We're looking, this is the first year we put out a public appeal for people to donate items that we put in the bags that we take to the nursing homes. And these are nursing homes in the city that are largely Medicaid population with little or no funds to be able to buy some of the items that we donate to them.
I've had the opportunity to get to know a number of people at a local nursing home over the last year or so and mm-hmm. spend some time there. And there are times where it's really hard.
Yes.
You know, what you hear about abstractly, if you are not visiting these spaces, you may not realize just how lonely it can be, how isolating it can be.
Yes.
You know, I've met folks who really don't have local family that visit, don't have people who will come see them, certainly trying to make relationships there at the facility that I've been to, but it is not easy. And I can't imagine days like tomorrow or the upcoming holidays are anything but really, really tough for some folks. What are you thinking about, particularly on holidays like tomorrow?
Yes, that's what got me to thinking about it and brought it to the project. And we're all in agreement that They're isolated. They don't have family. They don't have friends. They don't have money. They have some needed things. And on holidays, it's extremely sad that these people don't have. And most of them are within our local marginalized communities. And so we really felt that. And we wanted to say, you're not forgotten. And that's how the name. We wanted to let them know that somebody is thinking of you. And that we care. And so the Not Forgotten Project started with doing the Christmas gift bags to these. But we also then partnered with schools and churches and youth groups to make cards. So every holiday, these residents get cards from us that say, hello, Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, all of those, Valentine's Day, Veterans Day. We send them cards that students make and youth groups make, and people donate us box cards, and we make sure that everybody on every holiday that they know someone is thinking of them. And this includes memory care patients as well. And so it's, you know, even if they may not seem to know, it's amazing how we give stuffed animals in every bag. And it's amazing how that stuffed animal just kind of changes their face and the look and the smile. It's amazing how it encourages and just makes them feel loved, I think is probably the best word for it.
Well, and WXXI, full disclosure, is an example of an organization that is collecting for this project as part of our community service project. And so I know that listeners right now might be thinking, like, individually, how do I contribute? Or maybe I can get my office or my organization to do this. Would you encourage that?
Absolutely. This is our first year for appeal. And so thank you to WXXI, the first ones that said, we'll take this on. We've had some churches, but all of they need to do is just, you know, contact me and say, we'd like to take this on. We've got a group at University of Rochester. One of the departments has taken it on, and just reach out to me, email, phone, and say, we'd like to take this on as a project. I will give you a list of the items that we're giving in our gift bags this year. And we go from there.
Well, and before I let you go, Phyllis, you know, listeners know sometimes I mention my mother. I'm very lucky. I know Phyllis is a very well-regarded mother. Phyllis is loved by her kids. I have a great mother. I was going to say I have the best mother, but I'm talking to a mom. So I don't know, Phyllis. I've got a great mom. And my mom's been through.
I'll allow you that. You have a great mom.
My mom's been through a lot this year. She lost her husband, my stepfather, after a 40-year relationship. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, she got two cats. And those little kittens are going to, you know, take some attention and some love for her. And she still lives. Now she lives alone. Now she's got the little boy and the little girl with her now. Those cats are going to keep her company.
Yes,
But I think about how difficult and isolating it can be as you get older, especially if you lose a spouse or if your life circumstances change.
Yes.
And I know the people that you're helping, maybe when they were younger, didn't foresee a life of you know, a late life of loneliness and pain. And
I know
you're helping so many people. What do you want to leave with our listeners as we think about the little things we can do?
I think that's exactly what I want to leave with them. It's the little things that you can do. Going, paying a visit, dropping off a card, dropping off some cards, talking to your groups, donating to appeals like this. They need socks and jackets and lap robes. Get your group that does knitting or crocheting or sewing and go. Call and say, can we come over for an afternoon, do a visit, do a book reading, something. These are very small things that don't cost a lot but mean so much to these participants, even though they may not seem to understand quite or be with it. Believe me, they do. They do. They sense that somebody cares. And that's so very important, especially around the holiday time.
Listeners, if you want to drop off at WXXI and contribute to this effort, you can literally do that right here at the front desk, or you can reach out to us. We're also going to have in our show notes section, when this audio gets posted later today, information on all of these individuals and organizations we are talking to. Phyllis Jackson, who is a registered nurse and project manager of community health and well-being at Common Ground Health. This is a very important and a beautiful effort. Thank you for telling the story on the program today.
Thank you for having me, Doss. I appreciate it, Evan.
That's Phyllis Jackson. And what an hour we've got here. This is an annual tradition. We do it right around Thanksgiving. We have a lot of individuals and organizations that try to help the community in various ways. And let's bring in our next guest now. Laura Wolitzki is on the line with us now, director of the Dream Factory of Rochester. Hello, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Tell us what the Dream Factory is.
So the Dream Factory is the largest volunteer-based local organization that fulfills dreams for critical and chronic illnesses. So if I could just unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're volunteer-based. The Dream Factory has 31 chapters and a national headquarters. All of our local chapters are run completely by volunteers, and our national headquarters has 4 paid employees.
Wow. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of volunteers. The fact that we do critical and chronic illnesses means that we are recognizing that those kids with chronic illnesses have a lifetime of challenges, doctor visits, medication, restrictions on what they can do. And we want to reward their strength and determination, as well as those with critical illnesses like cancer, heart conditions, stuff like that. So we open it up to critical and chronic. As a part of a national organization, I mentioned we've got 31 chapters. However, 90% of funds raised in our community stays in our community to fulfill dreams for our community's children.
From Medina in the west, east to Seneca Falls, south to the Dansville-Wayland area. That's the geographic area. It's a big one. And
yeah.
There are currently, 17 kids on your waiting list?
Well, since I sent in the information, we're down to 13 because 5 kids went to Disney World this month. One of them just left this morning or just arrived in Orlando this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gotten some more. So I think we're down to 13 dreams that we're working on.
And when you think about the wish list here, what are some of the, you mentioned Disney World, of course, but what are the kinds of wishes that are on there that you're trying to fulfill?
So we are in communication with the LA Dodgers. We have somebody who wants to go out and see a game there. We have a child, if anybody's got a connection, he wants to see a Star Wars movie or TV show, show being filmed. If he could be an extra in it, that would be icing on the top. But he's looking for a Star Wars adventure. We're looking for somebody who knows Tom Hanks or can put us in touch with Tom Hanks. And that one's really interesting because the kid likes him as an actor, but that's not why he wants to meet Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks collects antique typewriters.
Yes.
And so does this kid.
Oh, my gosh. I actually heard an interview with Tom Hanks talking about that. That's so interesting.
Yeah. We have somebody who's getting a pool as soon as the spring hits. We have somebody who wants a sports court in their yard. So we're actually looking for some help of people who are willing to, tear up part of their backyard and level it out and pour the rocks and the asphalt and smooth it all out for us. And we have another young guy who wants a playground.
Okay. Well, connections, universe, do your magic. Maybe even a Tom Hanks connection. I have to really think that if Tom Hanks knows that this desire is out there, he is the type of person who would get in touch.
A matter of finding that connection.
Yeah.
Like you said.
yeah, absolutely. Okay, so before we let you go, we're talking to Laura Wolitzki, director of the Dream Factory of Rochester. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they want to ask about someone they know who might need a dream come true, or if they can help you?
Yeah, so our phone number is 585-234-0740. Our email is rochester@dreamfactoryinc.org. And we do have a couple of fundraising events that people could come to. We've got Rock the Day on December 3rd. We're doing a happy hour at Black Button Distillery on January 10th. We've got a casino night. We've got a golf tournament, and we're looking for businesses for a program called Adopt a Dream, where businesses can donate $5,017, because that's how much the average dream cost us last year. And they can choose whether they want to send a kid to Disney or something different, if they want a teenager or somebody younger. And we can, like, tell them all about the dream kid, and we can have a little party at their place of business if they want to sponsor a dream.
It's dreamfactoryinc.org/Rochester. Laura Wilitsky, the director of the Dream Factory of Rochester. Happy Thanksgiving. Good luck to all of you and all the kids who need these dreams to come true. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's a great story. We're talking to a number of individuals this hour who are sharing the work they're doing that don't always get the spotlight. And my next guest is Christy Nadeau, who is the director of marketing and communications for Meg's Gift. She's on the line with us now. Hi, Christy.
Hello. Happy to be here. How are you today?
Doing great. Tell us what Meg's Gift is.
Sure. So Meg's Gift, we are a 501c3 nonprofit charity created in 2015 by the family and friends of Megan Garbach to honor her life and carry on her own legacy. She unfortunately lost her battle with depression to suicide in 2014. So family and friends came together to make something positive out of such a tragic loss and a loss to so many people. Megan was such a caring, loving individual who really just wanted to give everything to others. So with Meg's Gift, we're hoping, and we've been able to make a pretty significant impact raising awareness for mental health issues and helping the public and organizations locally give funds to where they're really needed.
Christy, I'm just reading the story of some of what Megan was like. And, you know, she should be 37 years old today, 38 years old. She should be in the prime of her life and lost her at age 27. She was literally known for sitting with lonely people on school buses that didn't have friends to sit with, distributing peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to the homeless in downtown Albany, donating blood to the Red Cross. I mean, like, this was someone who was really thinking about other people, but hurting herself. And, you know, it's easy, I think, to see someone like Megan Garbach and think that they've got it all together, or that, you know, that mentally that they're exactly where they want to be. And we don't often know what people are battling. Chemical depression is very, very difficult. So I wanted to share that part of the story to kind of let people know when they hear about Meg's Gift, what kind of person we're talking about. Pretty extraordinary person, huh?
The best. Megan was my best friend. And honestly, my biggest supporter. And I feel there's a lot of people that can say that about Megan. So definitely when it's a loss, it's an enormous loss to not have Meg here today and all the wonderful things that she could be doing and would be doing.
So you
really did highlight it quite well.
Can you describe what you want listeners to do if they want to support not only Meg's memory, but the cause that you're working on here?
Sure. So we do have a number of fundraisers and charities throughout the year. We're just wrapping up our major fundraising activity that occurred November 16th at Shadow Lake. We had a Legacy of Love event where that is our major fundraiser, and funds will go to the Child Advocacy Center of Greater Rochester. So unfortunately, we just wrapped up that event, but we will have more in 2025. We do encourage folks to follow us on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. Follow on our website. We do have some wonderful content. We have a annual messages paper that comes with highlights from the year, messages from our board and friends of Meg that have just lovely things to say and talking about mental health and trying to break that stigma.
Unfortunately, I mean, I'm sure there are people listening right now who have been in your position, Christy, losing someone to suicide. So let me close with this. You've gone through a lot. The people who loved Meg would never have wanted her to suffer, and they miss her. What do you think about first when you think about her now?
Oh, I think that she would be proud. I think she would be proud of her friends and family that if we're able to just touch one person and make a difference, give them encouragement, a resource, a phone number to call, then it's all worth it. And I think she would be very proud of all the things that we've done.
Christy Nadeau is the Director of Marketing and Communication for Meg's Gift, megsgift.org. Christy, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. And happy Thanksgiving.
Christy, stay on the line if you could as we say goodbye, because our production team will jump on with you. We got an email from Bernie, people like Bernie who have wrote to the program saying that they want to use the website to give, and they just want to make sure they're using it the right way. So that's
sure.
Christy Nadeau. Thank you, Christy. I want to turn to our next guest who is with us, Olivia Bethman, who is the founder and personal trainer at OBF and a race director of the Gratitude Run. Hello, Olivia. Welcome.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing great. Tell us what the Gratitude Run is.
Yeah. So the Gratitude Run is a nature 5K runner walk. A 1 mile runner walk at the Sunshine Camp, which is located in Rush, New York. And the Gratitude Run is all about giving back, feeling good, moving our bodies, appreciating the things that we have in our lives, sometimes the very seemingly small things that we may overlook, while also giving back to a really great organization, which is the Sunshine Camp.
And why Sunshine Camp, which is located in Rush, by the way? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, we were looking for a home to have the Gratitude Run, and when we met with the Sunshine Camp, it was a perfect combination of both my mission and my business and theirs. They make summer camp more accessible for children with disabilities so that they can too have a really great experience. And so I'm working toward making movement more accessible for people and more enjoyable. And so it felt like a really great fit. And they're a very lovely organization to work with, and they're just wonderful people. So it was a really good relationship.
And Olivia, I know that ties into the work you do day to day. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm a trauma-informed trainer, and so what that means is taking a little bit of a different approach to fitness. Traditionally, fitness has been push yourself to the limit, no pain, no gain. If you don't hurt yourself, you're not really making a difference. This is taking into account all of the many things that we experience in our life from a mental health perspective, physical perspective, and giving space and support in that area. It would be really difficult, I believe, as a trainer to just ignore the very many things that happen in our lives and just show up and get the work done. So that foundational component is really strong, as well as taking a health at every size approach in that every body, no matter the size, deserves a right to move. We're human. And so there's no shame in that. I'm not trying to conform somebody into something that they're not.
Well, and you've said that society has turned fitness into sometimes into a shameful experience, and that you want to sort of flip that around. So how do you see, elaborate on that a little bit. What do you see happening?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, traditionally fitness has been a way to shrink your size or change your body. It's very been aesthetic based. There is luckily starting to be more of a trend in terms of people realizing that movement is supporting their mental health as well as their internal biomarker health. And so what I really want to do is just get back to the basis of being human, right? As humans, we move. We're supposed to move. A lot of folks live, you know, a very sedentary lifestyle given the fact that, you know, the demands of the working world is just there. And so it's difficult to find time, make time for it. And I think that if we can celebrate just moving in general, rather than expecting you to go to the gym or run 3 miles every day, it becomes a lot less scary for folks and a lot more enjoyable of an experience, because we're doing it for more than just the way we look. We're doing it to feel good.
So before we let you go, again, if people want to do the Gratitude Run, how do they do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's tomorrow. It's on Thanksgiving. So we are taking registrations up until the morning of at 7:15 a.m. So just kind of come register online or show up. And yeah, would love to have the support. We're really excited to do it. Hopefully not too cold, but we'll be doing it next year as well. So if you miss it this year, we'll be back at it next year.
Olivia Bethman is the founder and personal trainer at OBF and the race director of the Gratitude Run. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming in and sharing with us. Have a great day tomorrow, Olivia.
Thank you so much. You too.
We are talking to a number of individuals and organizations this hour, trying to shine a spotlight in places that don't often get the attention. And before I go to break here, got a text from Tom who says, shouldn't you be talking about WXXI? Or Tom, you know we do pledge drives, right? Today is not one of those days. I am grateful for the note from Tom on that. But let me also say that listeners will be talking to you in the days to come about how to support journalism and how to support WXXI, with a lot changing in the world. But we are still here, of course, and we are growing and strong. And what we are trying to do today is make sure that you know about a lot of different organizations and individuals who are doing what they can. So thank you, Tom, but there will be plenty of time for us on different days. Of course, every day of the year, I think you can go to WXXI.org/give, but I would tell you that we'll talk more about that coming up here. Let's take our only break of the hour, and we've got a lot more to share with you from individuals and organizations working to uplift our community coming up. I'm Evan Dawson. On Thursday, we've got special national programming for the Thanksgiving holiday, and I want to tell you sincerely what it means to all of us at Connections and WXXI that you listen, that you are part of the Connections community. We are in a fragmented media society now, and the fact that you choose WXXI and Connections means the world to us. Happy Thanksgiving. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and I want to welcome Donna Ritchie, who's the chapter president of Sleep and Heavenly Peace. Donna is online with us now. Hi, Donna. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for having me.
Tell us what Sleep and Heavenly Peace is.
We are a national nonprofit that builds and delivers beds to kids who don't have beds. And my husband, Sean Ritchie, and I, we run the Rochester chapter, and we've been doing that for about 5 years.
And how do you find the kids who need them? How do they get in touch with you? Take us through the process here.
Sure. Well, actually, they find us. We have a national website where they can apply for a bed. And if they live in one of the zip codes that they cover, their application will get sent to us, and then we'll reach out and schedule delivery. But just word of mouth, things like your show, that's how people find out about us. And there's no shortage of kids who need beds. We have a current wait list of over 450 kids.
450 kids on a wait list.
Yeah.
So what would it take to wipe out that wait list?
It would take probably another Sean and another Donna to start another chapter. Because as it is, we are only able to cover about 10 zip codes in Monroe County. So we're not even able to serve all of Monroe County, let alone Wayne, Yates, Genesee, Livingston, Ontario. So I would love it if another chapter president would come along and say, we'll do the west side of town, we'll handle Wayne County, we'll do Yates. So just need more volunteers, need more funding, and I guess a little more help. Yeah.
We've got a link to the website. I think it's shpbeds.org. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
SHP is in Sleep and Heavenly Peace.
Sleep and Heavenly Peace. And Donna, what's the backstory on how you ended up with this particular focus and why you guys decided to do this kind of work for kids who need it?
Well, we were having dinner with one of our adult daughters, and we were just talking about needs in Rochester and kids in need. And she said, hey, I have these friends in Michigan who do this thing. And she started telling us about them building beds for kids. And my husband both independently looked it up, and we both came home from work the next day. And my husband says, I'm 40% convinced we should get involved with this. And I said, me too. So we were together 80% convinced. And then we just did a little bit more research. Next thing we knew, we were on a plane out to Idaho for chapter president's training. And 5 years and 1,000 beds later, here we are.
Wow. Now, you've got 450 kids on the wait list. But again, what are some of the kind of numbers? You said 1,000 beds later. I've seen different numbers here. What would you describe the impact has been?
It's It's really amazing. So, yeah, we've delivered 1,000 beds. We have over 450 kids on the wait list. I think as more people hear about us through word of mouth, we just get more and more applications. So they're coming in faster than we can deliver. We tended to deliver about 250 beds per year. This year, we're going to top 300 beds delivered in a single year.
Do you remember the first few?
Of course I do. Twin five-year-olds, Jaden and Julia. Never forget them. We delivered to them Christmas Eve 2019. And we were told at presence training, you know, don't hug the kids. You're not allowed to touch the kids. You can like high five or fist pump. But Jaden was so excited to have his bed. He would not let any of us leave until he hugged every single one of us. And our volunteers are looking at me saying, you just told us not to hug the kids. And I'm like, well, it's Christmas. You know what I mean?
Why are we not hugging the kids? Hugs are great.
Hugs are great, but we're adults and we're strangers and we just have to keep everything.
You're the delivery crew. I get it. Yeah. You're the delivery crew. But you know what? There's something so raw and organic about a moment like that where like the kid can't contain it. Everyone's probably crying. I mean, it's just an amazing, that's just so beautiful.
It is beautiful. And, you know, and the kids get so excited. We have them help us. You know, we teach them how to use the drill driver. They help us assemble the beds. We had one super smart little boy. He must have been 9 or 10. And he says, I literally just made my own bed. And I was like, you literally just did.
Yeah.
You know?
Amazing.
So deliveries are really great.
You want to tell people a little bit about an Amazon wish list?
Yeah. So we, delivering 300 beds, that's a lot of sheets, a lot of pillows, a lot of blankets, a lot of comforters. So we put together an Amazon wish list. So if you want to volunteer bedding, we could always use that. You can go on, I think, your website. I sent you the link. Love to have some bedding donated. We need, everything has to be new, has to be twin size, but sheets, towels, or not towels, sheets, comforters, and bed-in-a-bag sets and pillows, all things that we could use.
Okay, and what is, I guess the timeline is now or yesterday, as soon as possible,
yeah.
Is that right?
We're delivering 20 beds next weekend, so we're set for that, but we're delivering another 40 on December 23rd. So, get ready for Black Friday sales. We could use some bedding. So if you see a good deal out there, we could certainly use your help.
Donna, clearly your family, you all have big hearts to jump into this and to do this. Has this opened your eyes even more, though, to need and inequality?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I didn't realize how privileged I was, as I think a lot of us were just starting to have our eyes open to the privilege that we've had growing up. And it has certainly opened our eyes to what else is out there, how some people are living. We hear about kids living or sleeping on a floor, sleeping on a pile of laundry, on a pallet. Some kids sleep on the couch and they can't go to bed until the rest of the family goes to bed. So they're getting to bed way too late. They're exhausted in the morning. It's no wonder they can't pay attention in school. So there's a lot of need out there. It's a simple thing. It's something that people don't think about. We all know that kids need backpacks and winter coats and help with food, but no one ever thinks about a safe, cozy place to sleep.
Yeah, and before I let you go, are there times where it's hard to find space for the bed?
Yes, there is. We have had places where they've asked for 3 beds. We can only fit 2 in there. So space is also an issue. Most times we can work it out. If they ask for 2 beds, instead of a single, we can bunk it. So we can do a bunk. So most times we take care of what the family needs.
I just love this idea. I have so much admiration for what you're doing. The organization is called Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And the reason there is a local chapter is Donna Ritchie. And so shpbeds.org. Once again, listeners, all of these websites and information is going to be in our show notes today when we post the audio for this program, but it's shpbeds.org. They've got 450 kids on a wait list. Donna, thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for taking the time for the program today.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
And Donna Ritchie, chapter president of Sleep in Heavenly Peace. What an hour we've got going, talking to people and individuals doing stuff just like that for our community. And our next guest is Kelly Fisher, Executive Director of Girls on the Run of Greater Rochester, who is with us. Hello, Kelly.
Hi.
Tell us what Girls
on
the
Run.
Yeah, well, thank you. Tell us what Girls on the Run is.
Girls on the Run is a after-school program for girls in third through eighth grade.
It's an empowerment and confidence building program, which we do through integrating running into a life skills curriculum. So the girls are learning skills that they can use in their lives, such as goal setting, standing up for themselves, standing up for others, how to make a friend, how to be a good friend, how to be part of their community and what that means to contribute to their community that they live in, and empower them to envision their limitless potential that they have. They also, through the program, integrate physical activity, and they train for a 5K that we do at the end of the season as a big celebration. So it's a non-competitive 5K where they get to, the goal is to complete it, and they set their own personal goals for themselves.
We're talking about, again, girls, what, third to eighth grade?
Correct. Yep.
And you had that celebratory 5K last weekend?
We did, Saturday. Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was awesome. It's always such a great event. The girls get to experience that tangible feeling of completing a goal they've worked towards. So they practice twice a week for 8 weeks. They started in September. And so the 5K was the culminating event. So to complete that, cross the finish line, you know, you just see the smiles and the joy and the confidence that completing that event builds, and it helps the girls to think, you know, what else can I do, or what do I want to do after this?
We're talking to Kelly Fisher, Executive Director of Girls on the Run. It's Girls on the Run of Greater Rochester. Why would you say, Kelly, that this approach is needed in particular for girls in that age group, third to eighth grade? Why is that so important?
So right around the age that we serve, right around third grade, there's a decline in girls' confidence, and physical activity drops off as they approach the teenage years. And that's more so than you see with boys. So it's a specific to girls. So this program is meant to kind of capture girls at that age where they start wanting to maybe participate less. They are feeling less confident, not feeling that they can speak up and use their voice. So the program is designed to, you know, empower them and help them build that confidence in themselves at that age. That's really critical.
What kind of results have you seen?
We have seen, so we surveyed the families and the girls at the end of each season. So we see an increase in the girls' confidence, the families reporting that they see an increase in their girls' confidence and physical activity. And the girls are building strong bonds with their volunteer coaches, so a trusted adult that they have in their lives. So we're seeing great results in the girls, you know, just being at the finish line and seeing that moment. You see how excited they are, and they are so excited to participate again in the future.
How do they find you to get involved?
So their teams meet at their schools in general. We have some teams that meet at community centers or parks, but in general, we do the program right at their school. There's also our website, which is www.gotrrochester.org. And there's a list of all of our locations. So we're in Monroe, Ontario, Wayne, and Livingston counties. And we can have a team at any school that there's volunteers to run the program.
Well, Kelly, before I let you go, I'm thinking of a friend who has two daughters, and they're so smart and they're doing great. But I remember they were younger, and he was telling me about how frustrating it is sometimes in school when there's almost this peer pressure for girls not to raise their hands, girls to withdraw a little bit, and that still is very real. And those pressures certainly exist, especially in that sort of that late elementary, middle school age on into high school. And now, of course, there's social media, there's screens, there's all kinds of things to kind of get wrapped up in to take you away from maybe developing more of that outgoing and confident nature. Why do you think this is still a problem in our society, Kelly?
That's a really good question. I think that we're still working on it. We're still struggling with it. You know, we have come so far, but it's still a huge issue. And, you know, for girls I think a lot of the messaging from our society is be nice, be good, be quiet, you know, don't be too loud, don't be too bossy, don't be, you know, there's, it seems like there's a double standard, you know, if a girl is speaking up, she's labeled as bossy. That's not always the case for if a boy is speaking up. So, you know, empowering the girls to feel comfortable in their skills and talents and identify what makes them feel confident and powerful. That's really what we want to do.
The website for Girls on the Run is GOTR, Girls on the Run, GOTR Rochester.org. What do you need most from people, Kelly?
So we are planning for our spring season. Our spring season starts in March, so we need volunteers to run the teams. We always get a lot more girls that want to do the program and not enough volunteers to lead it. So we're always looking for volunteer coaches and always looking for donations for sneakers. We provide running sneakers to any girl that needs them to be able to safely participate. And we always need help with the 5K. So that'll be in June. And that's we need lots of help to put that event on. There'll be over 2,000 people at that event. So we need lots of helping hands for that.
Connections listeners, you can find out how to get involved and reach out through GOTRRochester.org. Kelly Fisher, Executive Director of Girls on the Run of Greater Rochester. Happy Thanksgiving. You're doing great work. Thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
That's Kelly Fisher. We're talking to, where does this hour? It's just flying by, talking to people across our community. I got to get moving here. Amy Button is our next guest here, the founder of Share Some Rock Love. I love this idea. Hello, Amy Button.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell us what Share Some Rock Love is.
Well, Share Some Rock Love is a holiday gift drop project that I started in 2020 to spread some joy and celebrate Rochester's incredible small businesses. So each week from Black Friday to New Year's Day and sometimes beyond, I do online giveaways, but the biggest part is I hide gift baskets filled with local community goods around the city and post clues on social media to help people find them. And for me, it's really all about connecting our community, supporting local businesses, and having a little fun and adventure and kindness to the season.
This is really fun. This is an Instagram-based scavenger hunt of sorts. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
All right. So on Instagram, Share Some Rock Love. Listeners know how I feel about Instagram. I love the good parts of Instagram. I love the good parts of social. So this is in that category. And Amy, what's a good, you know, sort of goal for you in terms of participation? What are you hoping to be able to accomplish here in the coming days?
Well, there's a lot of ways for people to get involved. So first and foremost, you kind of hit the nail on the head. The best thing to do is follow us on Instagram to stay updated on the gift drops and giveaways. You know, and then if you're a local artist or a local business, we'd love the support through donations, whether it's an item for a basket or something for an online giveaway or even spreading the word by just sharing the post helps people discover what I'm doing. What this is all about is just highlighting the great local businesses that we have in the city.
All right, without giving away too much here, a Share Some Rock Love basket might have been found in the past. What's one kind of location that people might have found it in the past?
I think two of the most fun locations that I've done, there was one I did at the old water towers by Cobbs Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And people would have had to go around those to kind of find the basket. And then another one I did was actually up at the White Ladies Castle up by Durand East.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So we hid that up there and people kind of had to go around and try to find where I had actually placed it.
It's like a very intentional geocache. This is really fun. So Amy, all right, before we let you go here, can you preview a little bit of what you said, kind of local goods? What's one thing that might be in one of these?
We actually had a really great donation from Visit Rochester come in, and it has tickets to local museums, some of the shows. I believe the Strong Museum is in there.
Oh, that's great.
And then we have things from smaller businesses like Abode Rochester out in Pittsburgh. They're donating some gift cards, and they're actually hosting an event for us where people can come to the business and find gift cards hidden inside and use them towards purchases. So that's something that we're adding this year too.
Amy Button's the founder of Share Some Rock Love. Share Some Rock, R-O-C, Share Some Rock Love on Instagram to get involved. Have so much fun with this. What a positive, fun thing to do. Thanks for doing it, Amy. Thanks for coming on the program today.
Thanks, Evan.
I have got 5 minutes left here. And before we bring in that last guest here, I want to say that I just got an email from Catherine who says, love this topic. Love listening to the show today. I nominate for a shout out the awesome work of Cornell Cooperative Extension of Monroe County and the surrounding counties. Your viewers may be familiar with programs like 4-H and the Master Gardeners, but the reach and impact goes way beyond those well-known areas, from workforce development to food insecurity prevention to youth empowerment. They do a wide range of free and low-cost educational resources. monroe.cce.cornell.edu. Catherine, thank you for that. In fact, listeners, if you like what we're doing here, email us at connections@wxxi.org to tell us about the kind of individuals and organizations that deserve the spotlight in this kind of fast-moving way to kind of let people know what's going on. And we're going to wrap up the hour with Cleonda Florence, who's the founder and CEO of Let's Get Lit. She is also an educator. She's worked in local school districts. Cleonda, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us, what is Let's Get Lit?
Yes, Let's Get Lit stands for Liberating Individuals Through Literary Text. It is an organization that I created after being in the field of education for over 20 plus years as a response to help families bridge the gap between school and home.
Yeah, the data is pretty clear, and you cite a number of pieces of data. The National Institute of Literacy finds that 57% of Rochester residents in the Rochester area 16 and older are reading at a basic proficiency level equivalent to sixth grade. And, you know, I mean, that's, we know kids are struggling, people are struggling. So take me through some of the motivation here and then some of the results that you're seeing.
Absolutely. So we are doing some amazing work with families. We've done a family book club at Fight Village. Wanted to create easy access for families to come around a common book, understand the language that teachers are using to remove the trepidation that many of them feel, and they understand how to use the resources and tools. I've seen great strides with families who are now looking for better ways to engage local libraries. I also started a free summer family literacy program for 4 weeks in the evening for 5th to 8th grade students and their parents. So while the children are getting lit, so are their parents. I hire teachers and a teacher's aide. It's a 15-to-2 ratio. Parents are given the tools and resources they need while children are looking at individual books that are laser-light focused on next-generation New York State standards. I've seen great strides because we've worked with Chris Cooley, and several of my students were able to be published authors this summer. We created our own comic books in an anthology where they were their own superheroes. They talked about different experiences they had and how they overcame them. So I'm starting to move the needle when it comes to cursive writing for young people and adults, having a fun experience around literacy as a family, and exposing our parents to ways to bridge the gap between school and home.
What do you most need from the community right now, Cleonda?
What I need most right now from the community is financial support, because my goal is to be able to offer more sections of my family summer literacy program because it's a 15-to-2 ratio. I also need more books. So I give out books to help build home libraries. And I also need your bodies. So if you would like to volunteer and be present and help push the agenda for Let's Get Lit, because we know that literacy is our greatest social justice issue of our generation.
How do people get in touch? What's the best way to find you?
Absolutely. They can call me 585-261-4823. Also, you could email me at author Cleonda, Clianda, Florence, @gmail.com. You could go on Facebook or LinkedIn. You could look up Cleonda Florence or Let's Get Lit. And you could also look for me on LinkedIn. And also my website is strengthtosay.com.
And before we let you go, Cleonda, I'm thinking about kids who their lives can go in a lot of different directions. How, mm-hmm. What kind of impact do you think the ability to read and really read and love it and gain that skill versus a life where they're going to struggle to read at a high level, what kind of impact is that going to have on their life?
Well, it's going to be able to give them a full life, because we know if children are not able to comprehend, if they're not able to answer and ask critical and analytical questions, if they don't have a signature and no cursive, you know, reading goes beyond the book and the bind. So if we want a full life for our children that creates opportunity, that goes beyond what they see in front of them, then we have to expose them to various texts. We have to acknowledge the fact that cursive is not an antiquated skill set, and we have to get into the mindset that literacy is fun, it's engaging, and it's something we have to do, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but now.
One of these days, we just got to have an hour on cursive. Let's bring back cursive. Come on, Cleonda. We're going to come.
Yes, please.
Cleonda, you're going to be the first guest on that program. But for now, let's just say thank you to Cleonda Florence, founder and CEO of Let's Get Lit. Good luck to you. Thanks for being with
us. Thank you. Thank you.
What an hour. Let's Get Lit, Share Some Rock Love, Girls on the Run Rochester, Sleep in Heavenly Peace, Meg's Gift, the Gratitude Run, Dream Factory. I'm going to try to get them all here. And we started with Common Ground Health and the Not Forgotten Project. That's it. What an hour. Oh, my gosh. All of Rochester and the Finger Lakes region coming together on this day before Thanksgiving to learn about and to share these outstanding individuals and organizations. So thank you, listeners, from our whole team here. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you soon right here on Member Supported Public Radio.